Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and today I'll be talking about an animated feature by, we've talked about it before. You see, over a month ago, we lost one of the biggest names in animation, probably the biggest name in anime, Akira Toriyama. I did a sort of episode kind of mourning his loss. I wanted to talk about something that was related to his work. Unfortunately, when it happened, it was so close to a new episode airing, but I didn't want to just ignore what happened. So I just did a quick thing. I finally got a chance to talk about what I wanted to do in regards to the whole thing. So, of course, the most famous thing that Akira Toriyama did was Dragon Ball. Most people know it as Dragon Ball Z and in the West, just because when it came time to do the latter part of the story, they called it Dragon Ball Z on the show. That's the version that a lot of people here in the US got to know. A lot of people think that Dragon Ball is the prequel. And for a while, it lay dormant until it came back around the mid-2010s. Now, before we get started on the actual episode itself, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, comment on the video if you feel like you need to say something, like it if you enjoy it, and if you want to keep up with any other videos that I do, ring that bell for notifications. And if you're just listening to this on one of your favorite podcast sites, be it Spotify or Apple Podcasts, do add this show on your list. In any case, let's get back to the show. This is not the start of where Toriyama returned to the series proper. Little story, just to get you guys to understand. Akira Toriyama was pretty much done with Dragon Ball for the longest time. And realistically, that he went as long as it did is surprising, given that a lot of his stuff is usually very short. Of course, we eventually got a Dragon Ball movie here in the US, Dragon Ball Evolution. It was a live-action movie that was not very good. It messed with a lot of things. I know the common complaint, the biggest thing that a lot of people point out as the big flaw was that it was whitewashed. While I'm not gonna say it wasn't, it was, in my opinion, the furthest thing from the problem. Just because Dragon Ball itself, at least to my knowledge, has never been one that fully states where they're supposed to be at. So it kind of feels like, I mean, does it have to be necessarily Asian? Like, yes, of course I would prefer it, just because it would match with the person, with the place that it's from, but there's no real reason that it has to be Japanese characters when the character that we're following is based on a Chinese legend and is later on to be revealed to be an alien with the Superman background. So I don't think it really matters all that much if they chose to make it with a white cast. It definitely is disappointing, but it's not the biggest problem of the movie. Honestly, there's a lot of things wrong with this thing, be it the story, the setting, how generic it gets. I don't know. It's one thing where I'm like, you know, the cast itself is probably, I don't want to say a highlight, but one of the better things about the movie, where I feel like, okay, they at least, I don't know, I don't want to say that they were trying their best, but they definitely weren't trying to ruin this thing. There was actually some real fans in there, so can't blame them for that. Regardless of it, it sucked. It didn't make money. It's pretty clear that this thing probably only existed just so that Fox could retain the rights to Dragon Ball a little longer, since that's a common thing that movie studios do when they have the rights to things. Big mess. But you do have to look at the bright sides of it. Because it was so bad, because it was such a mess, and because Akira Toriyama was apparently disrespected throughout it, where he tried giving some input and they didn't listen to any of it, it resulted in Toriyama deciding, you know what, I can't let this be the legacy of Dragon Ball. I can't let people think that this is it. So he decided to go back to it. The first major feature to return to it is The Battle of Gods, which I remember when it released, I know the big thing was like, okay, you got Toriyama involved with this. But for me, you know, putting aside that we hadn't had anything new from Dragon Ball for a long time, it was also at a period where I wasn't too big a fan of Dragon Ball. Like, pretty much I was going into, I don't want to say the angsty teen phase, but that kind of is what it feels like, where I was like, okay, this stuff is dumb. I'm into smarter things. This is just ridiculous. You know, I do like Dragon Ball, but only the classic Dragon Ball. I don't like the action-filled Dragon Ball Z. Of course, there's a lot of problems with that because the U.S. really hammered in the action aspect while removing a lot of the comedy from it. So it was like a whole thing where it's like, okay, I'm not really all that strongly interested. And it was just like, okay, well, you know, so what? You know, you got him involved. But he's done like the designs of characters from like GT and some of the movies. So it's not like he's never been involved since. This is not something I can take seriously as just continuation. It's just another movie. But then this one came out, and that's the real subject of today's episode after all that long talk, which is Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F. When this came out and seeing it, you know, had the same thing, occurred, Toriyama was involved, it's a new story, Frieza returns, and, you know, all that stuff. I was like, oh, okay, so I think this might actually be back. I don't know if they had announced already by this point that it was coming back as a show, because I know Dragon Ball Super shortly released, and the thing about Dragon Ball Super is that it did have this and Battle of Gods as arcs within the show. Like, they extended it. We're not talking about the extended versions. I personally have no interest in really watching the extended versions anytime soon, just because I feel like you kind of already know it in the movie. You don't need to add more meat to it. And I feel like a lot of people are on that same page. Regardless, to say, I'm focused on Resurrection F, the movie. All things considered, you know, when this one had finally released, I had started to turn around again on Dragon Ball. A big part of that was Dragon Ball Abridged, where it kind of, you know, gave me something funny to watch with Dragon Ball Z, and understanding how it worked and how some of the jokes were done, realizing, okay, so some of this stuff was just the results of bad translation, and it was maybe my own angst that was, you know, having me turn against this wonderful show. Obviously, it wasn't ever perfect, but, you know, I was giving it a treatment that it didn't really deserve. So, yeah, I saw Battle of the Gods, admittedly online, and then I saw this one. Didn't see it in theaters. I kind of wish I had seen these movies in theaters. I wouldn't see it until the following one that they did, but we're not talking about that for now. Resurrection F became the one where I fully realized, like, yes, we're back. This is gonna have its return. It's gonna have its story expanded, and again, I really enjoy it. I can't say that Resurrection F is for non-fans of the show. It's definitely something where if you've never seen anything of this, you might be lost. Well, not might, you will be lost. I think it does try to explain some of the stuff well enough for non-fans to get involved with. And to an extent, I think it's easier to grab onto than some of these other movies. Especially because that's my major issue when it comes to a lot of anime movies. They often do so little to introduce you to the characters of that world that if you're not following like the anime, you'll be completely lost, or you'll see a character pop up and you're like, okay, who the fuck is this? This one tries to be a little bit better, and I imagine that part of that is because it is something that is actually more canon to the story, because the biggest issue I have when it comes to a lot of anime movies is that a lot of them are non-canon stuff. It's the main reason why I wasn't too crazy before Battle of Gods came out, because I was like, well, if this is another non-canon thing, why should I bother watching it? Only to realize, like, oh, okay, so it is a canon story. Like, with Resurrection F, if you're not a fan, you will get some help, but I still would recommend knowing a little bit about Dragon Ball before going into this. Once you get past that hurdle, fun movie. I can't, of course, fully recommend it just because of that little feature, but since it is Dragon Ball, it is one of the most popular things out there, so even if you don't follow it enough, you at least kind of know a little bit. I mean, I feel like most people are aware of the whole 5-minute joke, where basically it's like, you know, hey, Frieza said that he was going to blow up the planet in 5 minutes, but it's done over the course of, like, you know, 100 episodes or whatever of them fighting. So it's not a total complete loss. And in this case, for this movie, it's a very simple setup. It's pretty much just like, okay, we start off with Frieza's army. Frieza is like one of the big bads of Dragon Ball. The way I always see it when it comes to Dragon Ball Z. Well, there is more than just three arcs, three sagas. I try to tend to view it as three major, you know, portions of the show. Because you got the early half where you're introduced to the whole Saiyan thing and space and everything. While there are various villains, like at first you have Goku's brother Raditz, and then the other Saiyans like Vegeta, who becomes an ally. You eventually find out, like, okay, the big boss of these characters is Frieza, little white alien. You eventually get into the second one where you have androids, and it all leads up to the character Cell. And the last one, it's various versions of Boo. Whole thing. That's how I kind of try to break it up as simple as possible without breaking it up even further. Because, like I said, there are technically multiple sagas and arcs between each one of these. But yeah, Frieza would be like the big battle, like the first third of Dragon Ball, I would say. Dragon Ball Z, this is his triumphant return. His army, whatever is left of it, is pretty much, you know, struggling. They've definitely lost a lot of their strength because they don't have their leader. So this new guy in charge is like, okay, well, we can use the Dragon Balls, the magical MacGuffin of the show, for those of you who somehow don't know. It's pretty much like collect all seven of them, bring them together. You summon a dragon that can grant your wish. Pretty simple setup. And whereas at the start of the whole show, it felt like a bigger thing, eventually it becomes like this regular thing that they do just to get either things going or to fix issues that have happened over time, like, you know, to revive people and whatnot. Whatever. It's fun. It's silly. They bring back Frieza, and Frieza, realizing his own flaws in the whole thing, decides, okay, I'm gonna do this magical thing that the heroes have been doing to get stronger. I'm gonna train. I am not even joking. Frieza realizes he's gotta train in order to get stronger, and that pretty much sets up, like, okay, his whole revenge is gonna be going back to Earth where our heroes are at to kill everyone, but more specifically to fight Goku and Vegeta, since they're the stronger ones to fight him, especially Goku, since he's the one that essentially took him down. There is one other character involved with it, which the whole thing would be more explanation than necessary. Point being, Goku's the one that he really wants to take down just because of that original run in Dragon Ball Z. That's your basic setup of the movie. It's very simple. A lot of it is just the fight. You know, you get characters from the show who normally can keep up on their own, like Goku's son, Gohan, Krillin, his best friend Krillin, his master, Master Roshi, and then some of his other friends like Piccolo and Tien, and even a newer character called Jocko coming in to help fight Frieza's army. But eventually that all leads to Goku fighting Frieza, Vegeta fighting Frieza. You know, the biggest thing you learn about these movies is how hard a punch can hit. Realistically, that's all you kind of really need. Now, to add some, I guess, detail to this, the return of Dragon Ball was kind of interesting in that, you know, you, of course, had the movies. Stuff in Battle of the Gods does affect what happens here. In that one, they introduce, like, okay, well, here's this new form called Super Saiyan God. This one introduced the next step further from that. If you don't know what a Super Saiyan is, it's essentially a super form. It used to be that they turned blonde. It was a whole thing where, in the comics, since it was black and white, it was a way to cut down on inking. Akira Toriyama is a genius. You know, was a genius. We're going to keep time to this, since it's different in animation. They were like, okay, let's introduce him with red hair and Battle Gods. And in this one, we have the blue form. Whatever. And like I said, Battle Gods does connect to this. Not just because of the form, but also because we get the two new characters from that. The god of destruction, Beerus, and his assistant, Whis, are involved with this. But they're really just there, like, at the start of it, just to train Goku and Vegeta. And along the way, they're just commenting on the fight. Because, as Beerus points out, he has no real strong care for whatever Frieza does. Realistically, he's just like, I'll save Bulma just because she provides me with food. Because at the end of the day, that's the main thing that makes Beerus and Whis, more specifically Beerus, essentially protect the Earth. Just because he likes Bulma's cooking. He's like, okay, look, I love this food. It's good. I get to go to sleep a lot. I'm lazy. Just, you know, give me the good food and I won't destroy your planet. But again, he's still just like, look, I really don't care about Frieza's thing. If he destroys your planet, oh well, you know, I'll still keep you safe just so you can make me some food. So be aware that, you know, your life and everything is just a matter of my thing. So that stuff carries over and that, you know, helps further cement that, yes, this stuff is back and is important. But among the other things is like, one of the characters that I had mentioned before, Jocko, you know, who comes in to help, is like a space cop. He really comes into the movie just to warn them about Frieza, but Bulma drags him along. She has a past with him. And it's interesting how that happens, because this actually came about from a manga that was done. I'm not sure if it was before Battle of the Gods or at the same time or whatever, but Akira Toriyama wrote a short manga called Jocko the Galactic Patrolman about this Jocko character, where basically he gets to some misadventures. He's basically there on the planet to try to stop an alien from invading the Earth and destroying it. He meets up with some other characters. They have their moments, they have their fun, whatever. And it's eventually revealed that the main girl that appears in the story is actually Tights, Bulma's sister that up to that point we hadn't known. Turns out that the alien that he was trying to prevent from invading Earth was actually a baby Goku. So it actually ties it up to the start of Dragon Ball and whatnot. So he knows Bulma through the sister, Tights. And, you know, it's just one of those things that's kind of cool. It's definitely worth reading if you've never read it. I don't know if there's any plans to adapt that whole story into a show. Maybe there might be now that Toriyama's passed and they want to do more with his work. Or maybe it'll just be left there to be something that you can read. I don't know. But it is a cute story. I would definitely recommend it. But yeah, that was another thing that kind of helps set the stage for the return of Dragon Ball. And it helps flesh out this world. Like, one of the things that I've always liked about Toriyama's approach with Dragon Ball is that it does kind of feel, and this is kind of common throughout a lot of his mangas, they kind of add in stuff from his other works. Like, they either reference it or it turns out to be connected. Like, you know, like how Dr. Slump has crossed over Dragon Ball a couple of times, once in the very early run of Dragon Ball, and then eventually they brought it back to do Dragon Ball Super. So it's kind of like, you know, like in American comics where, you know, you have like the whole Marvel or DC universe and this stuff is happening independent of each other, but it is still connected. And that's kind of how this feels like. So, you know, even if you've never read the Jocko comic, it was still fun just to see this character in Resurrection F, but if you read the comic beforehand, it does add to it. Like, I think it just makes it a lot cooler. Like, oh, look, you know, this character that had his own story and whatnot is now involved with the heroes here. So, yeah, you got a lot of cool action. The animation is very nice for it. It's, of course, a higher budget version of the kind of stuff that you would see on the Dragon Ball show. It helps make the fighting a lot more energetic. Because this is a movie, it means that there's no real point to having it slow down, so it comes out quick. The punches are faster than what you would normally expect from that stuff. You can always see it. It's all very exciting stuff. And since it is mostly about the action, I can't really judge it based on the story too much. Like, the story is fine. I think of the movies that came out after this return, which is Battle Gods, this Super Broly, and Superhero, I think this is the weakest one, if I'm completely honest. But the fact that this was the one that fully convinced me, like, okay, this was, you know, how we return to this. I just feel like I don't really care. It is cool to see it regardless. It's miles better than a lot of the other movies that they made. That of course weren't canon, so I can't really find myself all that upset about it. Even if it is, from a story perspective, the weakest one. You know, there's not a whole lot of drama to it. It's just, you know, one of the classic villains is back. You know, they fight. And then, if it wasn't for the fact that the show, of course, continues and builds on this, it might have been a little weaker, just because it kind of feels like, okay, like a one-and-done movie. Because, spoiler alert, Frieza dies again in this. But because the show eventually came out and it added to it and it added more to this character, because eventually Frieza does come back again, this adds to their history. Like, it's not like, okay, we just forgot about this one time. So, yeah, obviously that helps in making this a little more enjoyable, because it was the one thing where it was like, when it first came out, it was kind of like, eh. I mean, it kind of sucks that you just brought back this cool villain, changed them up a bit, but then you kill them off again. So when it comes down to it, what could have been just a simple one-off story that is in line with a lot of these cheap anime movies ends up becoming a vital part to the story. So that ultimately helps it. If it hadn't been for the continuation of the story, yes, it would have definitely hurt it. But since it continued, it's all good. Funny enough, the main reason why they even brought back Frieza at all was just because Toriyama heard a tribute song, which is actually played throughout the movie, and it convinced them that, okay, this character was great, and, you know, if we're gonna bring back anyone, it should be the character that people often associate with, you know, the great evil of this show. Because, you know, by this point, you had Cell, which is like, okay, you know, great villain, but, you know, his whole thing was just wanting to be stronger than the heroes. And then you had Majin Buu, who, okay, we are already had, like, you know, one version of the character become their ally, which is the weirdest thing about this movie, is that they really should have given an explanation as to why Majin Buu doesn't come in to help out the heroes. I know in the anime they eventually explained, like, okay, it's because he was asleep, but I don't know, I just feel like you could have done something a little bit, you know, for the movie, but doesn't really matter, doesn't really hurt it either way. So yeah, you just get Frieza being the one that they choose to bring back, and I think it was great, because in the long run it fully cemented Frieza as, like, the ultimate villain of this series, because he does, you know, have his moments here and there after this story. I know the Dragon Ball Super manga has continued past the show. I really gotta read it sometime, because I know there's some stuff that has happened in there that we likely will not see animated anytime soon, or maybe they might, just because, again, with the creators passing, who knows. Regardless of it, Dragon Ball Resurrection F, fun movie, far from the best Dragon Ball story, but as far as anime movies go, it's a really good one. I recommend it if you're a fan of the show. If you're not, it's not one that's going to be hard to follow, but you might still want to know a little bit of the Dragon Ball lore to get up to speed with some of the stuff. But again, it's not too hard to follow. At the very least, the action, which is the main reason why you even watch this, will be there to be entertaining. There's going to be some funny stuff. The characters are charming. I still recommend it. Not fully if you're not into this stuff, but again, a lot of people are Dragon Ball fans, so it'll be kind of hard to be completely lost, even if you're not a big fan of this stuff. And with that, I just want to say thank you for watching, and I'll see you again next time.
It sounds like you've done well, man. But tell me, Is it just hard to count the days when you're dead, or did it take you a long time to restore my life?
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcasts on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.